The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. What's happening, party people? It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.com. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Radio's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin alongside, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. What is happening?
Nothing much, man. How you doing? I like the party people drop.
I was always with the party people. Straight beard hair, by the way. Just want to point that out in the one.
You know, you really get in my head here recently, okay?
Oh, sorry. Oh. Just one hair sticks out, and then I see it in the darkness of the door, and it's distracting.
Why don't you fix it for me? Come on.
Maybe I will. Hour number 2, Felica and Fezzik, Chris Felica from Fox Sports, soccer, horses, I don't know, baseball. We got some golf from him. That much I do know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably should have led with Masters since we know that much.
That much we know. He's got some Masters plays that will still be available by the time of his appearance, we trust, with guys yet to tee off, obviously, as the day moves on here. So Felica will be here. And then Fezzik Friday, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Super Contest, who joins me later to talk all things on his mind. And those things include prop swap. A little bit of a scandal. Is that too big of a word?
Yeah.
For it? Yeah, maybe too big of a word.
No. Probably.
It's interesting. It's accurate. Interesting little case study over there, prop swap. And I think Stevie and me are going to get into it about something regarding 100 wins in the Dodgers.
So I'm sitting there yesterday in a group text message with Gil and Steve Fezzik. And at 3 different times, I think to myself, Gil, I'm like, I'm going to start typing. Whoa, guys, save this for air.
Yeah.
And then some real nerdy math stuff starts happening. I'm like, never mind. This is probably better on a text message conversation. Yeah. And then someone said something again. I'm like, well, whoa, save this. Oh, no, here comes more nerdy math. Never mind.
I look forward to these kinds of point counterpoints with Steve Fezzik a little later on the show. UFC 314, Jordan Sherwood will join us to give us his bets on what is a nice UFC card this weekend. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. NBA awards, by the way, 1 weekend now left. 3 days left in the NBA season. How about the Warriors back into the playoffs as a 6 seed after the Grizzlies lose yesterday?
Only 2, because for whatever reason, they don't have games tomorrow.
Yeah, that's correct. They do that every year.
This
now.
Is something I forget like every yes. year, and I always hit like this point, and I'm like, why?
They do it because of playoff implication, potential playoff implications. They want everybody playing at the together, same time on Sunday. That's right. So 2 games left in the NBA season, and we will talk about the awards that are largely not up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they take them down 2 games before the end of the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, we talk about this with the NFL. We're like, I get it. You got to take it down at some point, but there's more voters than there are in the NFL.
You just leave them up for 2 more games.
And why now, right? Why not 3 days ago? Why?
And we're only playing a game of done or not done basically what we're playing with those. And we start, of course. Let me just get this out of the way first before we get to the Masters, the 89th Masters. One is we're back in Sacktown tonight. So a little baseball in Sacramento, 14,000 seat stadium there at Sutter Health Stadium in Sacramento. The Oakland A's hosting the New York Mets. And the question becomes, are we back on the overtrain today? Are we back on the overtrain, Kelly? I hear it far and wide. That's the question. And the answer to the question is no, I am not on the overtrain today in that game. And the reason is because, you know why? We have 2 ground ball pitchers.
I've been saying that about Sears for years.
J.P. Sears of the Athletics, Griffin Canning of the Mets, mainly ground ball pitchers. So for me, and my reasoning as to why I play the overs, that is a non-play for me tonight.
I'm just tailing you on these, man, but it is. We're already out to 9.5, 10 on that total. And like we talked about yesterday, cat's out of the bag. People know about this. People are going to bet it anyways. I think you got to pick your be smart and pick your spots with pitchers.
Now, if it gets 11 runs in the first inning, you can hate me, but I'm not playing. Not one for me tonight. Okay, to the 89th Masters, where after the first round yesterday, Justin Rose had himself a 3-stroke lead over Ludwig Ober, Corey Connors, and Scottie Scheffler, the pre-flop and current favorite still, Scottie Scheffler. To win the 89th Masters at Augusta. Justin Rose out to a nice little start here to begin round number 2. He is 1 under through 3. He birdied the second hole. So Justin Rose increases his lead by a stroke. He is 8 under for the tournament. And didn't JVT come on the show this week and say he took Justin Rose at 100-1 to win this? I believe he did.
Oh, man. Someone did. I was trying to remember.
I think it was
who.
Jonathan Von Tobel.
It was a very, look, Rose was a very popular first round leader bet because he's.
I don't think he had him first round leader.
And I don't think he brought that up either.
I think he had him for the full tournament.
But good for everybody to cash that yesterday because he's now been the leader at Augusta after the first round five times. Something to note for going forward.
Justin Rose, who has one major to his name. He won the 2013 U.S. Open. He finished runner up at the Masters twice. 2015, he was runner up to Jordan Spieth, the chatty Jordan Spieth. And in 2017, he was runner up to Sergio Garcia, of course. So Justin Rose trying to win his first green jacket. He, by the way, in the updated Masters odds, Scottie Scheffler, as I mentioned, still the short shot. Scottie Scheffler plus 210 to win it, four strokes back currently. He has not teed off yet today. And then Ludvig Åberg plus 550. Justin Rose 6-1. I believe this might have moved here in the last 10 minutes, though, where Justin Rose might be the second in the second position. Obviously, check who.
Yeah,
we are live-ish odds.
Live-ish. Yeah, we're about 10 minutes behind. So yeah, you are correct. I'm looking at it right now. Rose is plus 550. Åberg is 6-1.
I love that's our guarantee. We will give you live-ish odds.
Live-ish. Hey, we will read the live ones. Okay, we're trying our best. We're trying our best at the graphics.
Bryson DeChambeau is obviously in the mix as well. I just want to say this: Daniel Berger.
Let's go, Berger.
Daniel Berger is six strokes back, two under for the tournament. That could be a little problem. We want to track the rest of the way, if you know what I mean.
60-1 on Berger.
Yeah.
This is, I don't even know where you want to start, Gil, but the current odds board is fascinating to me because I think there are some enticing numbers out there on some enticing players, but with Scottie Scheffler right there at 4 under par, Justin Rose 4 shots clear of everybody right now.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard to make a bet in the outright market.
Well, I did.
You did in the outright market?
Yeah, I made a couple bets. I made a few bets yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah,
that's right. Keep in mind, there was a point yesterday, and we all had this thought, especially when Scottie Scheffler sunk that 60-footer, where we're like, okay, is Scottie Scheffler just going to run away with this? Like, there was a moment where, like, is this Masters just going to be a Scottie Scheffler coronation tour here? I went ahead and bet to, this is overnight now, I went back in on McIlroy. Well, we'll get to Rory here in a minute. Went back in on Rory, who I was pre-flop on to at, like, I think plus 775. I got him at 14-1 after round one. Rory started the round 7 back. He's now 8 back. And for best round 2 score, I did go for the two preflop favorites of the tournament. I went with Rory and Scottie Scheffler plus 1850, 12-1 respectively for the best score today.
I like those.
Now, here's the thing. I get that the Rory bet might just be putting bad money after bad money. I get that that's possible. On the other hand, and you and I talked a little bit about this before the show, the amount of overreaction we see from folks to what has happened in one day, even like few holes, let alone one day yesterday, was just ridiculous, right?
And he was awesome for 14 holes.
For 14 holes, I felt pretty smart yesterday adding Rory to the mix. He was great. He was 4 under through 14, and he was in a tie for second place. If he pars out the rest of the way yesterday, he's also in a tie for second. Well, guess what? Rory did some Rory Augusta things. On 15, he bounded the ball past the hole into a treacherous area on 15 where you do not want to be because you don't want to have that pitch. And sure enough, he bounced it past the hole into the drink. And then after a penalty stroke and a wedge and two putts, it was a double bogey at 15. And at 17, he went past the hole as well and three putted. So again, a double bogey. So he had an up and down on 18 to maintain even for the day. And that's what ended up happening. So double bogey 15, double bogey 17, instead of being 4 under, even for round number one.
He was shook after 15, man. That hole played so hard yesterday, and it's a genius hole. You set up as a par 5. Yeah, I mean, I love any course that does this, but obviously Augusta, one of the best in the world. But it's a risk-reward approach shot on that second shot. And you see a lot of guys that leave that out to the right, and you're like, wow, that was a terrible shot coming in. Like, you left it way out there. It's because you get a safer chip into that green that slants so far down towards the water, Gil. And if anybody who's sitting at home watching Patrick Cantlay, as soon as I saw Rory put it over the green, I'm like, he's going to do exactly what Cantlay did. Because it's too enticing for those guys to say, to look at themselves and say, it's not that hard of a chip shot. I'm going to put this close to the hole. I'll go up there and knock in the putt. And that just hits that glass green and just runs off into the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was shook after that.
He was shook after that. But here's the thing. Okay. It's early yet, right? Rory, if he's the guy we think he is this year, and again, Rory has won two big tournaments, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am this year and the Players. This is the first time he's ever won two tournaments headed into Augusta in a calendar year. If he is the golfer we think he is, there's plenty of time to bounce back here. Plenty of golf to be played. On the other hand, it's the cautionary line that I used with you and Matt on the Beating the Book Masters pod, which is, or is this just in his head as this is his 11th try to win the career Grand Slam? And maybe after that yesterday it is. I don't know. You have a matchup you made.
I do. I think that's a great way to talk about it, though, because the overreaction for me is everybody jumping to that conclusion already.
Yes.
And it's, well, he played 14 really good holes. I'm not saying for sure it's not in his head anymore, Gil, but look, can we give it another round or two? We'll find out a lot more how he responds today.
That's right.
One tournament matchup for me, Ludvig Åberg over Xander Schauffele. Look, Åberg, I think, looked incredible. He's a guy that you really just been waiting to put it together more consistently here, and really why he stayed off of my betting card heading into the tournament. But a great first round, and when this guy is locked in, he's one of the best on the tour. Xander still looks like he's trying to find it out there a little bit. So at only -115, I thought that was a good round two matchup bet.
And Josie Lewis Ballester, that is your real name. Maybe you take your business elsewhere next time. NBA Awards, done or not done next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 at EdgeBoost. Will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. ML Dogs on Twitter says, Sepp Straka cash out 59 cents. Why, yes, thank you very much.
Is that for the outright? Yeah. So, again, we've discovered another use for the cash out option
that could
be very, very helpful.
The walk of shame cash out. Yeah, I'll take 59 cents.
Yep.
Thanks very much. UFC 314 in Miami tomorrow. And Jordan Sherwood is always a joy to have, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast for ESPN Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. We bring him on now to discuss, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm good, and thanks for having me, guys. But yeah, we finally have arrived at like a big time fight card, a big time fight week, a lot of interesting matchups, a lot of notable names. The UFC's kind of been void of that for a few weeks now, so it's always nice to talk to you because that means there's a big time fight card.
Can I ask you about right before? I know you don't have a play on this one, but this is right before the co-main and the main. Is Bryce Mitchell against Gian Silva? Silva's a big favorite here, -218. But Bryce Mitchell, for those who are casual fans, might be known to most for some off the octagon comments he's made, and Dana White immediately just slapping him down and saying, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but I'm a free speech guy. We're not going to sanction him. But the beauty of this sport is that you get to see him get his butt, he said something else, kicked in the ring. You have any thoughts on this? Is Bryce Mitchell, in fact, going to meet his fate here?
Well, I mean, if John Silva, you know, continues to live up to the hype and perform to the level that he has, I mean, it's been four UFC appearances and four knockouts. He's one of the hottest fighters currently in the sport. He's coming from the gym of the year, the fighting nerds, all of them on unbelievable hot streaks right now. One issue for me just came up. He missed weight. He missed weight about 35, 40 minutes ago. Not sure if he's going to weigh in again, if he had a tough weight cut, if he's masking an injury or something, but he did miss weight. That's certainly notable. This is also John Silva's toughest matchup. He's never faced a guy that's been in the top 10, and he's also has struggled to some degree with grapplers, guys that could take him down, guys with less credentials than a Bryce Mitchell have taken him down. Now, certainly John Silva has gotten up and then knocked their lights out. But I certainly believe that we're probably going to get a similar result because John Silva, I think, is a special talent. Bryce Mitchell is very, very amateurish from a striking standpoint. And obviously, every fight starts on the feet. So to get that price down, I would say a small sprinkle on John Silva via knockout. I think that he, despite the weight cut, I don't think there's anything wrong. He's going to shine bright tomorrow night and continue this meteoric rise that he has.
Okay. Bryce Mitchell has since apologized for his comments just to be journalistic about it.
Good job.
Thank you very much. Okay, main event. Alexander Volkanovski, minus 142 is what we're showing, versus Diego Lopez. But this is really, this line has been interesting, Jordan. It's gone from minus 50 roughly on Volkanovski. Crashed, I don't know if crash is the right word, but it fell down to minus 125. Now it's kind of back up at minus 150 in spots that I'm looking at. And this kind of comes down to, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is what do you really believe? Do you believe more recency on Volkanovski? Two losses. Some would argue he took them with not very much rest. Now he has rest. Is that the more important part of this, or is his general body of work career-wise more important here? I guess that's where you start with this.
Yeah, and I think the thing to note too with those two KO losses, it was against Islam Makhachev, who's probably the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet, and Ilya Topuria, who is up there in the rankings, just gave up his featherweight title to now go after the lightweight strap. So it's not like he's getting knocked out by bums. He did the smart thing. Yes, taking the time off. He hasn't fought since February of last year, but he's now fighting a guy that's a power puncher that comes like a bat out of hell, that has a unbelievable Brazilian jiu-jitsu game that we haven't even seen yet, and has at least answered some question marks about cardio. Now, this is a five-round fight. Volkanovski has been living and dying by five-round championship fights, and this is the type of fighter typically Alexander Volkanovski defeats. The line is flipped, as you said, Gil. My recommendation on this fight, if you want to play it and play it before it starts, you play Diego Lopez. You play Diego Lopez because he's an excellent first-round, second-round fighter, and you question mark about the chin. Is Volkanovski's chin still there? Because that's if that when that goes, it goes. But if you want to be on the Volkanovski side, you wait. You wait until you bet this live. You can maybe probably get a better price because there are still question marks. Can Lopez go into the deeper rounds, rounds four, rounds five, that Volkanovski has been doing his entire career? So that's my recommendation. It's Lopez now at that plus 120 price, because I also believe he's a special talent, but Volkanovski is one of the best we've ever seen, and he likely takes over the fight as it goes into the later rounds.
All right, pre-flop Diego Lopez from Jordan. Does some of that also apply to the co-main, Michael Chandler and Patty Pimblett? I would imagine the shorter this is, the more it favors Chandler, but then the longer it goes, it swings.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to remember, too, this is a five-round fight in the co-main event slot. The issue that I have with Patty Pimblett is that he's been hit in, like, every fight that he's been in the UFC, and to this point, it hasn't derailed him. He's beaten everybody that's been in front of him, although you could argue he did lose to Jared Gordon, but that's beside the point. If he gets touched up and hit by Michael Chandler, he's going to sleep. Michael Chandler has power in both hands, has been in there with the best of the best, has a wrestling game that maybe we look to and he relies on as well. And I don't think Patty Pimblett is at that level yet. This is a dramatic step up in competition. I'm not worried about the age that people are bringing up about Michael Chandler. This is an excellent opportunity to put his name back in place of championship consideration. So for me, I like Michael Chandler in this fight. I think that he's not going to be threatened by the hype around Patty Pimblett and the takedown prowess. I think Chandler can keep this fight on the feet and land something and change people's thoughts about one Patty Pimblett.
Also on the main card, and this I lied earlier. I said Bryce Mitchell and John Silva was right before the main and the co-main, but it's actually Yair Rodriguez and Patricio Pitbull. Pitbull, not his real last name, Kelly. She probably knows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not his real name. Wow. You like Rodriguez by decision here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, Pitbull's probably one of the best fighters that hasn't competed in the UFC. He's won championships everywhere he's gone. Good boxer, got a little bit of a wrestling game. And it just, for some reason, he hasn't been able to land in the UFC. Now he's there, but he's 37 years of age. And just stylistically, the kicks and the striking that Yair Rodriguez brings and just the momentum he brings into this, I think is overwhelming for a lot of people. And, you know, Patricio Pitbull has certainly been in there with guys similar to Yair Rodriguez, but I think the speed is going to be a little bit too much. So I like Yair Rodriguez in this fight, but I want to get that price tag down. So I like him. I think this goes into to the judges' scorecards. And I think Rodriguez via decision at plus money. I think he's just going to be too quick, too fast, and keep this fight standing and at distance where your Rodriguez is going to have a decisive advantage.
We do have some an update from the ANG MMA expert in the back, Bobby Knuckles, informed me that Silva just attempted a second weigh-in and made weight at 146 successfully.
There you go. This is the one I'm actually most interested in hearing you talk about, which is on the preliminary card, strawweight, women's strawweight, Jan Zionan against Virna Jandiroba. Jandiroba is the favorite here, but her opponent has a lot going for her in terms of height and reach. How did you land on Jandiroba here?
Yeah, well, I landed on because what we know about Jan Yaldan is the fact that she succumbs to takedowns. And she's put on her back a lot of times. I mean, where she's going to want this fight is on the feet. She's an outstanding kickboxer, great speed, very technical, and showed that a little bit in her fight when she fought for the belt against Weili Zhang. But she also got taken down in a fight and nearly submitted. If she gets taken down against Jandiroba, she's going to go to sleep. Jandiroba is one of the best grapplers and submission artists we have in women's mixed martial arts. She's ever evolving as a striker as well. So I think at some point, she's going to land a takedown and be able to take the back and likely choke Jandiroba out. So I think not only just straight up money line, Jandiroba is going to win this fight and fight for the title next, but plus money at her as submission. I think I'd seen it plus 250. For her to win on that prop, I think that's definitely in play because Jandiroba is one of the best submission artists we have.
All right, and then the only fight in the main card we didn't talk about, Nikita Krylov and Dominic Reyes. How are you betting this?
Yeah, I'm betting it based on trends right now. Krylov has had a shoulder injury that put him out. He hasn't fought in well over a year and a half. And guys that are coming off of extremely long layoffs, and maybe that also holds true then for the Volkanovski fight, have lost. We've seen that with Josh Emmett. We saw that with Rafael Viziev, Marvin Vettori, all guys that are fighting in big fights the past couple of events, just not the same. You can't mirror what you do in training camp when you get into the octagon. So I think Dominic Reyes is back to being that championship level type of light heavyweight that maybe challenges for the title again. I think he just overwhelms Krylov at some point. So I like the under, I think, because both guys are finishers. But if you're asking me to pick a guy, I'm taking the dog. I'm taking Dominic Reyes, the dominator, to continue this second 2.0 version of him and get the win.
All right, Jordan, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the fights. Good luck on all the bets.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
And once again, a UFC card like this, Kelly, for those on the West Coast, it all begins. The early prelims begin at 3 p.m. Pacific.
Whew.
It's always earlier than you think. Jason Weingarten with all his bets next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, alongside. Still to come, Fezzik Friday, Steve Fezzik in the hizzy. See if we get into it. We got a lot to talk about with Fezzik. Anything that's on his mind, but I have a feeling I know what's on his mind today. And Chris Felica standing by. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Chuckism won. Wow, didn't have Gil using the word Riz on my bingo card today. That's because Kelly said mid, so I had to make fun of him.
I you know what's funny is I thought about it. As soon as I said it, thought about it. I was like, I just said mid.
No one picked up on my Straka. Dead on arrival. What that's from. David AF. Regarding Gil's foul territory angle in Sacramento, just read today that Oakland Coliseum got its vast foul territory when new A's coach Joe DiMaggio wanted upper deck seats to have a full view of the field. Solution was moving home plate forward. I did not know that. I did not know that was the origin of it.
Plus, they need more room. As much room as possible for all the feral cats. That I assume are still living there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're having just a great time over there. What a story that was from the pandemic.
That was incredible.
Matt McCarty has birdied his fourth consecutive hole.
Whew!
He is 2 under for the tournament, 5 back. Just want to point that out. What was the Chris Berman line when the people at SportsCenter back in the late 70s and early 80s had a bet? In a result that was of interest to many people around here, Matt McCarty has birdied his fourth consecutive hole. He's 2 under for the tournament, 5 back of Justin Rose. And this tweet is really where we ought to start with Felica. Chris Felica from Fox Sports joins us now. He is the emperor of the Bear Bets Empire at Fox Sports. Multiple podcasts. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You may know him as the Bear. This is from Bruce Dobigan. Chris, we bring you in for this. He says, forecast for this afternoon, winds 22 to 27 miles per hour. Grab the morning, guys. Rosie looks good. And this segues right into you, right, doesn't it?
Exactly. I hit you guys up in the group text last night that it looked like the earlier guys were going to get the better of it today because it was a little bit of rain overnight, so everything will be a little bit more receptive, picking up in the winds in the afternoon. So I would be, and I have been betting so far, Oberg, Bryson, and Rowe is all to be second round leader at different levels to try and balance it out to make sure I guarantee myself a profit. I've been betting Oberg and Bryson to win the tournament. I'd hold off on Scotty because who knows what's going to happen in the afternoon. You might get a better number on him after the round finishes. But yeah, it looks like these early guys definitely pick up on that. I've been betting Rory to finish in the top 10. He's around minus 120 to finish top 10 now. It looks like that is certainly going to be the Rory tail at Augusta. Again, backdoor top 10, kind of shoots himself out of it on day one. And then by the time the final round rolls around, there he is sitting T6, T7. On the menu as well there, I see you got the graphic up. Afternoon guys going out. Tony Finau over 72.5. Justin Thomas over 71.5. Ryan Harmon over 72.5. Guys that when gets a hold of some of their shots, could be in for some higher scores this afternoon.
I like it. I like the strategy. And that Rory point is part of the reason why I bet Rory second round leader and also for the tournament also. How many times before this current stretch of Rory where we're like, oh, he's the greatest golfer in the world, did we see him having cosmetic finishes, right? Oh. He loves the non-pressure finish.
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, I haven't known, like, it's been since like 2017 or so that he's been within like six shots during the weekend, and he hasn't been in contention during the week. And then he'll come out on Sunday, shoot 63 or not 63, but like 67, 68, fire a backdoor top 10. And that's the look. I've kind of not had fun, but people did betting Rory to win. Like, he hasn't done it yet. Kind of is defeated mentally. I think when he gets to the course, like, he'll have one bad round, and between the years, he's kind of done. But he's going to come out and play well. So bet him top 20, bet him top 10 after his numbers rise up a little bit. And that's the way to do it. Don't bet him to win.
Golfer that wins this that makes you hate yourself the most would be? Meaning you thought about betting him but didn't, kind of thing.
Corey Connors to win. Would be the way that I do. I have Corey Connors in some matchups. I have Corey Connors in top 10. I have Corey Connors top 20. I do not have any Corey Connors to win, but he's someone who has been playing much better since they moved back to the East Coast and into the Florida swing. I didn't play particularly well out west, but he's played well at Augusta. He goes out right around 12:20. He goes out and puts a couple of good holes together early on before the winds pick up. If he winds up winning, I'll feel bad.
All right, to the horsies. I believe that's the technical term. Before we get to your pick today, this came up earlier in the week, and I said I got to ask Felica this. Do we have a triple crown horse this year?
I think Journalism potentially could be that horse. He's going to be the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. He's a versatile horse. He's done little wrong, if anything, in his career so far. He's got a good tactical running style. He should get a good pace set up in the Derby. The issue is going to be the Preakness, I think, for him. The Preakness, you're going to have probably Cornucopian. I think Bob Afforth's horse will be sitting in the wings waiting for him. You get a horse that's actually running in the Lexington this weekend at Keeneland Praetor, Chad Brown's horse. So I think Chad is pointing him to the Preakness as well. So you could have a couple of fresh guns to the Triple Crown, some new shooters there waiting for him. In the Preakness, but I think Journalism does have a little. Journalism wins the wins the Derby and winds up winning the Preakness. He's going to have a great chance to finish us off at Saratoga in the Belmont.
All right, for those who want a horse pick for this weekend, what do you got?
Be Your Best in the Jenny Wiley tomorrow with race 10 at Keeneland. A couple of stakes races there today, a couple of stakes races tomorrow. And by the way, for the horse players, there's a massive pick six carryover at Keeneland. It's a dollar base bet. So why not sit around, play the horses, bet some golf, bet some soccer, bet some tennis. I mean, who's got it better than us, by the way?
Nobody.
This is what we do for a living. We watch golf, we watch horse racing, we watch what soccer are we betting? I mean, how friggin' great is that? But be your best tomorrow in the Jenny Wiley at Keeneland. Duffy Joseph's horse, 6-1 in the morning line, should get a really good trip behind Kehoe Beach, the favorite, who probably is the pace setter in the race. But I think be your best with a rat up has a very, very good chance to upset the apple cart there at 6-1.
Every time Jim Harbaugh asks that, he's asking it rhetorically. Exactly. I'm like, me, exactly. right over here, Jim.
I'll answer it.
Yep. All right. You mentioned soccer. Do we have any Felica soccer bets?
Oh, we got plenty of soccer. We got four things for tomorrow. Four things for tomorrow. I got two in Serie A, Inter Milan and Cagliari, who I think is Michael Lombardi's Serie A team, Cagliari. Inter Milan, a big Champions League win, emotional game at Bayern Munich this week. They're in position to advance to the Champions League semis, hosting Cagliari, who's kind of just floating there, not going to get promoted, not in danger really of getting relegated. This feels like a game where Inter just goes out and wins 1-0 or 2-0. I played under 2.5 in that game. I also played Lecce under a half a goal at Juventus tomorrow. Juventus has had a coaching change. And again, this feels like Juventus is looking for a European Champions League spot. They're in a battle with Bologna. This feels like a 1-0, 2-0 type win for Juve as well. Go over to England tomorrow, Championship Division. I played Preston North End under a half a goal. At Leeds. Leeds got a massive result earlier in the week. They got a big win. Sheffield and Burnley did not win, so they dropped points. Leeds back atop the championship, brought up promotion. Feels like Leeds comes home and keeps a clean sheet against Preston. And then in the Prem, Nottingham Forest, Everton under 2.5 goals as well. Everton coming off a couple of big games where they drew at Arsenal, which was massive for us. We had that last week. Lost 1-0 at Liverpool. Nottingham Forest, again, looking for Champions League play, looking to clinch that. Typically a very lower-scoring, defensive-minded team. So under 2.5, Nottingham Forest, Everton at the City Ground tomorrow as well.
Wow. What was that little Lombardi note you stuck in at the beginning?
I believe his family, I believe he mentioned like on the air a couple of times that Cagliari is, his family is from that area. So I think that would be the his Serie A squad.
Okay.
By the way, I remember you and Kelly, by the way, last week we're talking about little things that either hurt or bother you, and you brought up canker. I was thinking canker sore before you even said it.
Oh yeah.
One other thing that doesn't hurt but it's annoying, when you get stitches and they start itching and you can't itch them. I'm sitting here like patting the band-aid to try and get make the itch go away. You can't rub it, can't scratch. It's a pain in the you know what.
Canker sore is gone, by the way. Thanks for asking.
Good. Oh, we got the final update on it. Good. Gone. All right.
See you later.
Did you use a little peroxide?
No, I just powered. Okay. I powered through it. Ooh, that's what I did.
The best part, Chris, was that he kept asking everybody if they had ever had one. I'm like, I think everybody's had one. Like, everybody.
No one's ever had it.
Well, Kelly just topped it on the break. Do you want to hear what happened when I said, hey, Kelly, when I was asking lovely Savannah behind the glass here, she's a yoga instructor. I was saying, oh, what kind of yoga? And Kelly, what did you say?
There are multiple types of yoga.
Culture with Kelly Bidlin coming soon. NFL draft last week that you were on, you had this great conviction about Ashton Jeanty. Everybody thinks he's going to the Raiders at 6. You're like, no, over 9.5. And the last week has, first of all, do you remain steadfast in that? And in the last week, has something else in your mind come up? Would you feel a lot of conviction on?
I do feel pretty steadfast about that. The Raiders not selecting him. I think Jalen Walker from Georgia is going to go very high. I haven't seen his position prop posted yet, but I think it would not surprise me if he potentially worked his way into the top five as well, from what I have heard.
That he will work his way into the top five.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah. I think there are teams that are very, very high on him. So we'll see. Okay. But yeah. I haven't seen a position prop on him yet.
As soon as you use the language, he's going to go high, and my brain had to figure out which way that meant.
It's, exactly, yes. It's,
I want to say I saw an 8.5 on him, but...
I want to say that as well.
Yeah, I'd go under 8.5. There's 8.5 out there. I definitely would go under on that.
I also like the phrase, I want to say that, as opposed to just saying it. I do it all the time.
You know I'm not sure. I said it too.
To be honest with you, I'm going to lie to you.
Honestly and literally, thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Chris Felica. Fezzik Fridays on the other side. It's a numbers game.